to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Coming out of the great tribulation.
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me.
For you are my rock and my fortress.
And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me.
Into your hand I commit my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
Thank you. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, the 7th chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
He adorns the humble with salvation.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song.
His praise to the assembly of the godly.
Let Israel be glad in his maker.
Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king.
Let them praise his name with dancing,
making melody to him with tambourine and lyre.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
He adorns the humble with salvation.
Let the gospel exult in glory.
Let them sing for joy on their heads. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
He adorns the humble with salvation.
The second reading is from the first letter of St. John, the 3rd chapter. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From the Gospel reading, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And in Revelation, St. John sees a great multitude standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Who are these clothed in white robes? These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Our texts. As human beings, we have a deep-rooted desire for heroes and authorities. A desire for heroes and authorities. We all want someone to look up to, someone whom we can model our lives after. We want authorities who can offer us wise counsel and direction. Norwegian novelist Sigrid Undset described it like this: "We want someone set over us, on whom we can depend and whom we can admire. Yes, whom we can love." I think this desire, this need for heroes and authorities, explains much of what we see in our culture. The parade of TikTok influencers, YouTube personalities, pop stars and billionaires, athletes and artists, politicians and celebrities. They all offer us an image of a good life, the blessed life. We even know some of them by a single name: Taylor, Elon, Brady, Shohei. We desire heroes, and our culture is more than willing to provide. So today, I want to ask you, who are yours? And here I'm not just talking to the children, but I mean this sincerely. Who do you want to be when you grow up? What do you view as the blessed life? Our culture has its heroes and its authorities, but we are gathered here in the church on All Saints' Day, and the church provides a different set of heroes and authorities. We call this the communion of saints. And I want you to know today that we ought to pay much more attention to the saints and far less attention to our favorite celebrities and athletes. I mean, we should pay more attention to the saints if what we care about is our faith and what it means to be a Christian. Aren't the saints the ones that we would want to ask? If we want to know what it means to be a Christian, wouldn't the saints be the best models and examples for us to follow? So where do we turn to learn more about the saints? You don't have to go far. Just read your Bible. Open it up. That's the place to start. In the Bible, in the pages of Scripture, you will learn about our fathers and mothers in the faith, our heroes, our authorities, Abraham and Sarah, Ruth and David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Mary and Joseph, Peter and Paul. Their lives are laid out before you. And by their lives, I don't mean simply one litany of the good things they did after another, but also their failures and the grace that they received from God. Church history gives us even more saints to look to, although their names may be less familiar. I hope that you maybe go back and look them up after hearing the names here. People like Ignatius of Antioch, or Polycarp of Smyrna, Perpetua and Felicity, Ambrose, Monica, Augustine. Keep on going and you get Patrick and Anselm and Bernard, and then later Martin Luther, Martin Chemnitz, and John Gerhard, even C.F.W. Walther, the founding father of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. How well do you know these names? Could you recite their statistics in the same way you could your favorite football player or baseball player? Do you know their stories? Which of them do you connect with? Whose life resonates with yours? Our church calendar has a calendar of feasts and commemorations to honor the saints. We don't observe these regularly on Sundays, but they're there as part of our church life. And we also have wonderful resources to learn more about them. I'll mention just two. Some of you already are familiar with this, the Treasury of Daily Prayer. On the Saints' Days, it gives a little description of the saint. Or the book Celebrating the Saints, which lays out a small devotion for each of those days. You see, as we learn about the saints, as we come to know their stories, who they are and what they did, and how God was merciful to them, we learn to see ourselves as part of something much bigger. We are part of a story that embraces history and spans the globe. Learn to see yourself as part of this communion, this fellowship divine. Though we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Learn how they endured the trials and crosses of their day so that you can learn to do the same in this day. What I'm urging today is learn to love the saints. Now, we can honor the saints in a couple of ways. Our Lutheran confessions suggest three. The first way we honor the saints is by thanking God for them. We see the saints and we turn to our God and we thank him. Why? Because we see in them examples of his mercy. Because we also see in them God's will revealed to save. Take, for example, St. Paul, an enemy of Christ who was persecuting Christians, and yet God desired to save him and did. We also see that the saints are God's gifts to the church. The way they model the Christian life, the way they teach the faith, they are gifts to the church. The second way we can honor the saints is when our faith is strengthened as we remember them. Here we might think of St. Peter, who denied our Lord three times and yet was restored with the forgiveness of sins. Though he failed, our Lord picked him up and granted him forgiveness and salvation. And so our faith is strengthened as well. And then third, we honor the saints by imitating their faith and their other virtues. They followed Christ, and we learn from them how to follow Christ. But in this, I would say the saints aren't an end in themselves. If all we do is look at the saints, we perhaps have missed the bigger picture. They are not an end in themselves, but they are a window into a bigger world. They are a window into heaven, and they are a window to our Lord Jesus Christ himself. When we think of the saints, we shouldn't just think of them as saints that we see through the window whose lives we envy. I think we do that with a lot of our popular cultural heroes. We hear about their wealth or prosperity and we envy them. But with the saints, we don't look through the window to envy them, wishing that we could enjoy what they have. No, instead, we see ourselves surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses as we run with the race with endurance. See yourselves surrounded by the saints. I think it's especially important for us here in the 21st century in Massachusetts. You know as well as I do that believing Christians are not found on every corner of the street. And even among many Christians, they might hold beliefs that are different from ours or that even go against the scriptures in ways. It can be a lonely thing to be a Christian here and now. So we look to the saints and we realize that we are not alone. We are running the race and they are running alongside of us and in front of us. Where they have reached is where we are headed. St. John describes having this experience in Revelation. He saw a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in their white baptismal robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." If you listen closely enough, I think sometimes you can almost hear their voices crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Their eyes are on the throne, which draw John's eyes to the throne, which draw our eyes to the throne. With them and through them we see the victorious Lamb, the Lamb who was slain but now stands, the one whom the world did not know but himself had created the world and all that is, the one who was crucified but now is alive forevermore. Alleluia, Christ is risen. As we remember the saints, we also remember those whom we have loved and lost in this life. But on All Saints' Day, we remember this as well. Death has lost its sting, and the saints who have died in Christ are with Christ. They are alive with Christ. Amen. They reign with Christ. They are around the throne of Christ. And that is where we belong as well. I mentioned that when we look for heroes and authorities in our culture, we often look to them for a description of what the blessed life is. What is the blessed life? We would describe it as the life the saints have in heaven, but we should also view it in a way as the life the saints have here on earth. The world has a false expectation of what it means to be blessed. The world's beatitudes go like this: blessed are the wealthy, blessed are the beautiful, blessed are the PhDs, and blessed are those with good genes and great health. But that's not how our Lord's beatitudes go. I want to read them again, all of them. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you." This is not what the world would call blessed, but this is what Christ calls blessed. And as you hear this list of the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who is being described here? Certainly we could identify some of the saints, but even more we can identify here a description of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is poor in spirit and mourns and is meek and hungers and thirsts for righteousness. He is the one who is merciful and pure in heart and a peacemaker. He is the one who is persecuted for righteousness' sake and reviled, because he is the Christ whom God has sent. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed One. Blessed even though he is crucified. Blessed by the Father, for on the third day he is raised from the dead. Victor over sin, death, and the devil. He is the Blessed One, and his righteousness is what we seek, what we pursue. And so in Christ, as you are baptized into Christ, communing with Christ, having Christ's word put into your ears and absolution covering you, in Christ, this is what it looks like to live as a baptized child of God. We are the blessed ones. Jesus talks about blessedness a number of places in his Gospels and elsewhere. In the Gospel of Matthew, he tells John the Baptist's friends, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." When Peter confesses Jesus as the Son of the living God, Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." Peter is then offended by the suffering of Christ, but Jesus will suffer and die for us and for all the saints. In the Revelation, it describes as blessed those who die in the Lord. It doesn't say those who die with wealth, or those who die with a long life, or those who die with having achieved accomplishments in this world, but blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, blessed are those who look to Christ. And blessed are they, even if they suffer persecution for bearing his name. Blessed here means to be saved and redeemed. And so that is you. You are a blessed one in Jesus Christ. For you look to Jesus crucified and risen from the dead. You already raise your voice in praise to the one who is on the throne and to the Lamb. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. It's an amazing status that you have been given, an amazing title that has been placed on you, child of God. St. John goes on to say, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. Already his child, and yet you do not appear yet as you will when he comes again. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. We are gathered today, surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, with our eyes on the Lamb who reigns. We are gathered today as those who hunger and thirst for this kind of life, for the righteousness of Christ. And it is his righteousness that he gives to you again today and invites you into. You are a blessed one, dear brother and dear sister, and you have been called to lead the blessed life as one whose sins are forgiven in Christ, as one who has the saints as your brothers and sisters and friends, as one who has that vision that John saw as your future, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. But there are other saints as well. Just look around you, right now and right here. Not only in heaven, but here on earth, you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You are surrounded by saints. Not because they lead holy lives in and of themselves, because they are perfectly sanctified here, but you are surrounded by saints who are made holy in Christ. You have brothers and sisters right here that God has not only given you to serve you, but he has called you to love and serve as well. And so God would use you. He would use your works for those around you. That's what's described here. You today are being called and invited into the life of Christ as one who is poor in spirit, who mourns over sin, who is meek, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Pursue and strive to be the one who is pure in heart and a peacemaker, and be willing to endure persecution for righteousness' sake. Good works flow from being this blessed one in Christ, and these good works flow from us for our neighbors. You can say today, with Christ, with St. Paul, because of your baptism, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It is Christ who lives in you. It is Christ who is at work in you. It is Christ who makes you blessed and who surrounds you with a whole company of saints in heaven and on earth. Love the saints. Love the saints because you have been loved by Christ, who gave his own blood for you, that your robes might be washed white by him. The Christian life, in some ways, is such an ordinary life. You know, when we think of the heroes and authorities of our culture, they're the people who make the headlines, who are on the news or who are on TV. But to be a Christian saint is not to have the focus put on you, and it is not simply to accomplish great things here and now. The life of a Christian saint, in so many ways, is an ordinary life, an everyday life, a life lived in the callings that God has given you here, though no one else notices or sees. Marvel over the saints that you're sitting next to, and marvel over the incredible work that God does through them. I'm reminded here of C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce. In this book, he describes a journey to heaven that a busload of people takes, and while they are there, the person introduces him to one of the most amazing saints of all. And he sees this woman coming toward him, and he's amazed by her beauty. And he begins to ask, is it so-and-so, someone who's famous and well-known? And he's told, it's someone you've never heard of. Her name on earth was Sarah Smith. She lived at Golders Green. She is one of the great ones. He goes on to say, fame in heaven is different than fame on earth. A simple, ordinary woman who was loved by Jesus and so who loved others in return and carried her earthly life out, not seeking renown or celebrity, but simply doing what God had given her to do. That was a saint. You are a saint. You are surrounded by saints here, and you are surrounded by saints in heaven. Love the saints, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, even as you've been loved by him. As we all press on, running the race with endurance, looking ahead to that golden evening that brightens in the west, for soon, soon to faithful warriors cometh rest. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray to the Lord our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead.
For deliverance from all that harms the body and assaults the soul, and for trust to commend ourselves, our bodies, and all things into the hands of our faithful God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the ministers of the church, that by their preaching the Spirit would gather the lost, kindle faith in those who do not yet believe, restore those who have wandered away, and sustain us all to the day of Christ's coming, let us pray to the Lord. For our nation, that we would be wise in electing our leaders and live in peace. For those in authority, that they may be inclined to God's will, walk according to his commandments, and carry out their offices with uprightness, let us pray to the Lord. For those whose lives and property have been devastated by hurricanes, and for those who assist them, that the Lord would provide for their physical needs and draw them to the comfort found in Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord. For all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Casey, Stephanie, and Annie, that the Lord would preserve them in the day of labor and delivery and grant them joy with their children, let us pray to the Lord. For all who call on our Heavenly Father in need, especially Diane, who is hospitalized, Aino in his rehabilitation, Henry as he goes through his medical follow-ups, and Rich with his medical appointments, and for all who have requested our ongoing prayers, that God would comfort them with his abiding presence, grant them patience in the midst of suffering, and according to his will, release them from their afflictions, let us pray to the Lord. For all who are nourished by the holy body and blood of God's Son, that they may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at his heavenly banquet, let us pray to the Lord. For those who mourn, that they and we would be brought at last to the place of everlasting light and life, to see God face to face and live in his presence forevermore, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Remembering with thanksgiving the saints whose lives and witness point to Christ, who believed in him from the world's beginnings, and who are now wholly alive in his splendor, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Job, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, David, and Samuel, all righteous rulers and faithful prophets, Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Joseph, the guardian of our Lord, the great cloud of witnesses, the millions of martyrs, including Stephen, James, Peter, and Paul, and all the apostles, Cecilia, Agatha, Lawrence, Ignatius, Polycarp, Felicity, Perpetua, and all the martyrs, including those in our own time whose sufferings glorified God. Remembering all faithful evangelists and teachers of his word, including Martin and Carl, Pastor Mike and Pastor Jim, all peer artists and authors, including Lucas, Johann, Felix, George, Clive, John Ronald, Dorothy, Gilbert, and Flannery. Remembering the saints who loved us here, prayed for us here, and led us by their holy lives and their faith in Jesus, the blessed dead who died in Christ and who stand now in his presence in strength and beauty, especially those from our congregation, Alfred, Richard, Karen, Keith, Nancy, John, Dean, Janet, John, Jesse, Emily, Vicky, Anne, Priscilla, Derek, Shirley, Bob, David, Daniel, Irvin, Gary, Duncan, Tom Sr., Walter, Tammy, Stacy, Joe, Mim, Eileen, George, Ralph, Ethel, Herman, Sam, Dot, Connie, Donald, Anna, Donald, Ted, B, Toy, Rachel, Lempi, and Toivo. And remembering those from among our family and friends, Alfred and Mary, Myra, Joe and Margaret, Edward and Judy, Antoinette, Abby, James and George, Bud and Alice, Lucy and Vicenta, Dwayne, Barbara, Pastor Frank and Jean, Aline, Pastor Ingo, Lauren and Evelyn, Philip and Nancy, Alice, Mildred and Maury, David, Ronald and Pauline, George and Eva, Mamie, Edward and Margaret, Kirk, Jim and Agatha, Barbara, Donald, Grant and Gwen and Francis, Lillian and Barbara, Hugh, Ragnar, Bill, Isa, Ellen, Martha and Lindsay, Philip, Lempi, Eunice, Marty, Yorma and Marja, Brunhilda, Elvita, Harold, James, Jerry, Edith and Helen, Vivian, Anna, Eunice and Eugene, Susan and Jackie, Alice, Daniel, Father Donat and Huguette, Adolf, Bertha, Dolph, Hedvig, Carl, Lillian, Stephen, Susan, and Karen, June and Walter, Charles and Phyllis, Art and Miki, Chris, Charles, Frederick, Gladys, Mildred, David Sr., and Gary, Helene, Kathy, Sean, Ambie, Anna, Charles, Dora, Aino, Floyd, Kristen, Pastor Herman, Sylvia, Velma, Julie, Don, and Inez, Lino and Tiny, and Gisela, John and Shirley, Kelly, Pastor John, Robert and Jean, Robert and Helen, Edward and Olga, Alphagi and Rita, Sheila, Susan and Don, Nancy, John, Jose, Maria and Mario, Jim and Jean, Jeffrey and John, Jesse, May, James, Nancy and Ralph, Glennis, James, Lillian, Minnie and Reva, Carmilla, Daniel, Donald, Gary, Janet, Janine, Mark, Martha, Robert, Zephyr and Ted, Arthur and Helen, Linda, Ron, Jane and Craig, Nancy, Earl and Joan, Eunice and Sylvester, Jean and Leo, Rachel and Robert, Raymond, Hilda, Catherine, George, Joseph, Walter, David, Gladys and Phil, Claudia, Erica, Inga and Al, Emil and Margaret. Remembering Mary, the Mother of God, and all who, like her, trust his word and now behold his glory, that we might join all of these in faith and in steadfast witness as we pass on the sacred deposit to those who will follow us, we thank and pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Almighty God, we give you thanks that you have washed us in the blood of the Lamb, written our names in the Lamb's book of life, and made us a royal priesthood and heirs of an eternal inheritance. Though we deserve none of your mercy and are unworthy of your saving grace, we pray you to hear our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whom, with whom, and through whom all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. That we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. In the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy.
kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Today's psalm is Psalm 148. Praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints. For the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven.
Thank you.
Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.